Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. October 16th through the 28th, 1962, is probably not known to most people today as well as it should. In those 13 days, a nuclear war was averted. It's remembered as the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Soviet Union was shipping nuclear missiles to Cuba, only 90 miles from the U.S. coast. Soviet ships had the intention of breaching the U.S. naval blockade and delivering their deadly cargoes. An American reconnaissance plane was shot down over Cuba, and a U.S. invasion force was ready to strike. United States Secretary of Defense later said, "I thought it was the last Saturday I would ever see." But through intense negotiations between John F. Kennedy and Khrushchev, including history records, some very, very harsh words, the Soviet ships turned around. No missiles landed, no missiles were launched, no World War III, the crisis averted. In our text today, God's people are reaching a crisis point of their very survival as a nation. And God sends the prophet Jeremiah to speak some very harsh words. The question is, will they heed those words and the crisis be averted? Today, you and I are on the brink of a crisis, one of nuclear proportions, one that also threatens our very survival. And the question is the same for us as it was for Jeremiah's hearers in our text. Will God's word preach to us, avert the crisis of our eternal disaster? Judah had rejected the word of God. In other words, they were rejecting Yahweh himself. Jeremiah had spoke all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to the people. And through Jeremiah, God was accusing them of going after other gods. They were turning their backs on Yahweh, who had redeemed them from Egypt and brought them into the promised land. Through Jeremiah, the great I Am was pronouncing desolation for Jerusalem and the temple. Some 450 years before, Israel had taken the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, from its place in Shiloh into battle with the Philistines as a kind of like a good luck charm. This was not pleasing to God. So he allowed the Ark to be captured by the Philistines, and Shiloh was destroyed. God's patience was running out. The enemies of God were hearing their judgment, and they reacted with hate and with murder. It's quite a remarkable scene. It all happens at once. Jeremiah finishes preaching God's word. The corrupt priests and the false prophets lay hold of him and accuse him and threaten to kill him. And like a playground fight about to break out, all the people rush to gather around. The officials hurry to their seats at the place where criminals are judged. And the priests and the prophets, well, they demanded death for this one who prophesied against the temple and the city they made their God. There before this hostile crowd, Jeremiah tells them he speaks for Yahweh, and he calls them to repent. If they repent, if they turn to the Lord, God will relent the disasters he has pronounced on them. But if they refuse, for Judah and Jeremiah, this is the moment of crisis, either for peaceful resolution or catastrophe. From the time of Adam and Eve, their fall into sin, the whole world teeters on the edge of crisis of nuclear proportions. We are all headed toward eternal catastrophe in hell. We have not given up our gods. We worship our carnal desires. We put our trust in things of plastic, glass, and steel. We lie and we cheat for temporal things that will last such a short time. This is a rebellion. A rebellion against God. You hear each Sunday the voice calling each of us to repentance, to repent. Yet we are so turned in on ourselves that we have neither the desire nor the will to do anything but sin. As we descend in this journey of Lent and continue to live all the days of our life, we know we are in a crisis. We know the wages of sin is eternal death. We know that we have sinned and done what is evil in Yahweh's sight. The crisis is before us. We are lost and condemned creatures. No negotiations, no trying to do better on our part can bring a peaceful resolution. But there is one way out of this crisis that threatens our condemnation. God sends many prophets into the vineyard to preach repentance and salvation. Now he sends his Son, God in the flesh. Jesus takes the punishment for our sins into his own flesh and sheds his blood in payment for our sins. It is God's love for us that averts this crisis. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. On the cross, Jesus gifts us our citizenship in heaven, even as we now await his blessed return to take us to heaven forever. And on the cross, Jesus declares, "It is finished. The debt is paid. Your sins are forgiven." The crisis is averted when we believe the preached word that calls us to repentance and delivers us the living word. It turned out that the verses immediately after our text, cooler heads prevailed. Jeremiah wasn't killed, but 22 years later, Judah was dragged off into captivity in Babylon. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed, just as Jeremiah had warned. The people, well, they had never really taken God's word to heart. Jesus is our joy, isn't he? Jesus is our treasure. He is the one needful thing. He is our life. He is our salvation. And we hear the voice of his prophets today, pastors who preach God's word to us. When we are convicted of our sins, we repent. History bears this out. Many crises that have been averted and thousands of lives have been saved. But there is none like the crisis of sin and death, by which Jesus' death and resurrection, and this alone, averted the crisis of such epic proportions, a crisis for your soul and mine. We often feel that that crisis is now. It is now. But the final resolution will come on the last day when Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Crisis averted. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.